Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There's something that happens at this time of the year that I find fascinating to watch, because it can happen in unexpected moments, and everybody hopes that it happens to them. You have a moment with someone else, perhaps a relational moment with someone you've known for a long time, or maybe someone that's new in your life. But because of the season, because of the atmosphere that we create in our culture around this day, there is a moment where honesty, perhaps emotion, overwhelms just a little bit. And you're left knowing for sure, perhaps not until that moment, how that other person feels about you. It might be a gift under the tree, and they're watching you open it to see what your reaction will be, to see if you understand what they're intending for you to see in that gift. Their pleasure at knowing that you understand how much they care for you, the role that you play in their life. But it doesn't have to be a gift under the tree. For some reason, and I can't explain it really, and I don't know that anybody else can, there are moments during this season of the year, whether it's in words that suddenly come tumbling out, or whether there are gestures, acts of kindness. People just tend to do things they wouldn't do the rest of the year, or maybe couldn't do the rest of the year, and make someone else aware that they are loved, that they're treasured, that time with them is desired. It's a gift. I'm hoping that everyone, if you haven't already experienced that this particular year, has one of those moments in store for you before this season is over. But I'd also point you to a gift that you're being given this evening by someone you haven't really ever met. He was referred to as the Apostle of Love. Now, before you have any 60s or 70s songs running through your mind, it's not that kind of apostle of love. It wasn't because of who he was, how he went about living, being somebody that demonstrated love, even though I'm sure that's who John was. It was that he wrote and he taught and he preached so often about love, that love was the focus of his message to the early Christian church, that he came to be known for that message, and it's so consistent through the first letter that he wrote to the early Christian church as well. If you read all of chapter 4 of John's letter, there is no doubt that you see clearly just how much our God loves his human creatures and will do anything and everything necessary for his children to know his love, his undying, totally committed, unwavering, unchangeable, all-powerful love. And there's fascinating ways that John applies that and illustrates it, hoping he will help us understand just what this means for you and me today and forever. Here he begins, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We all need to know, we want to know that we are loved. It isn't at all surprising that many people struggle with this time of the year because the echo of love that has ended is very much on the minds and hearts of those who have experienced it. Whether it's a love that ended through death, or whether it's a love that simply cooled, or whether it was a love that was destroyed by selfishness and sin, the reality is there are many at this time of the year who have echoes of love in their minds, in their hearts, in their lives that they wish they could renew, experience again. There's loss, there's hardship, there's pain. And that is the reality with human love. Every act, every relationship built around human love will find its ending point one way or another. Human love will always be diminished. But look at the love that John speaks to you of in these verses and realize that divine love, eternal divine love, is exactly the opposite. It can never be diminished, it can never be dissolved, it never wears out. It always finds its target in the expression of that love, in the fulfilling of the promises made surrounding that love, and the ultimate willingness to sacrifice in the name of that love every last thing necessary to not only win the moment, but win hearts, win souls, win the eternal struggle between good and evil, between separation and acceptance. These are amazing words. It's a beautiful thing that they've been chosen for us to hear on this night, so that you and I would have a reminder through a powerful illustration and application of what true love, undiminished love, captivating love looks like in not just the eyes, but the acts of our eternal God. The fact that John would point to a sacrifice of atonement as the ultimate reason why God gives this gift, why he sends his only one and only Son into our world, should catch our ear immediately. We know isolation. We know separation. We know that in our most treasured relationships, there are days where we or they have caused distance, not wanting to, not intending to, and sometimes that too. But we can't keep it from happening. But God wants us to know that his desire is always that we are at one with him, and that he will do everything necessary, everything required, everything possible to make that relationship one again. And he lays it all out here as to how That happens. He sends his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And then he removes all doubt whatsoever that this is not dependent on us or anything we do, anything we could possibly earn from God, by saying, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's a very gentle way of helping us understand that the only way we will ever be at one with God, now and forever, is if God does the acting, God's intervening, God's bridging the gap between us and him. And that is his ultimate gift. But he has other gifts along the way. You and I would love to see God, but we can't. And yet we're told here, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In other words, if we understand this love captivates us, this love convinces us that God does include us in that sacrifice of atonement, that our sins are paid for, that we are at one with him, that we are welcome in his presence, that changes our understanding of who we are in every relationship that we have. And there will be moments where others will see God's love through us in the things that we do and say, in the attitudes that we demonstrate. And in those moments, we see God through his love being made complete in us. And if you wonder how that's even possible, he makes sure you know. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. The fact that there's this self-perpetuating reality in the relationship between God and his creatures. The Word brings us the Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word to convince us to believe, to trust, to acknowledge the gift of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the difference that it makes every day of the year, not just one. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. An immediate turning of our focus outward to understand that elsewhere John will also say, this sacrifice wasn't just for us, but it was for all of the world, all human beings of all time. The perfect life has been lived. The righteous obedience necessary for God to be at peace with us has been accomplished by the one he sent into the world. He's accepted that payment as the atonement sacrifice for our sins. We know him to be the Savior of the world. And so the ultimate act of love is sharing the knowledge that we have of who this Jesus is and what he has done, why he came into the world, and what it means for you and me today and every day. I don't know if anybody else in this room ever experienced this, but there was a custom when I was a little kid. I remember it well. I don't know where it came from, and I don't know how it was so pervasive amongst the family and friends that we would involve ourselves with during the holidays. But I remember the stretch between pretty much Christmas Eve and Epiphany as being a very active time where we traveled even to distant relatives or friends, but just about every day had us interacting, either hosting or being hosted by family and friends. And the reason that I bring it up is that everywhere we went, there was a custom that I haven't seen in a long time. It was just expected when you hosted friends and family that everyone would sit wherever the Christmas tree was, and whoever lived in that household would show you all the gifts they had gotten for Christmas that year, sometimes in great detail. And I remember having the thought as a real little kid already, especially when I would see the gifts that some of the other kids my age got, but then seeing the really big things that some people were giving to others. Wow, the person that gave that to you must really love you. Might even make you wonder a little bit, do I have anybody that loves me the way they love them? I'm not seeing those kinds of gifts under my tree. But the reality was, it was an opportunity for people to see, to demonstrate their connection to each other in interesting ways. How thoughtful other people could be, how understanding and insightful in regard to hobbies and interests or hopes and encouragements. It was a fascinating thing to do. And every kid, eventually, sooner or later, if he really got that thing that he really wanted, that he thought set him apart from everybody else, would show it off a little bit. And if an engagement ring or an anniversary ring or some bigger gift, I don't recall ever being taken out to the driveway to see a car with a big old bow on it. That only happens in commercials, right? Besides, they only make one payment for you, right? And the rest are up to you. The point is, John's telling us in these verses, you and I have already received the biggest, most important, most eternity-changing gift we could ever possibly get. And if we don't understand that this is what this day is all about, it's time to recalibrate, throttle it down, and focus on the gift of the Spirit and the word the Spirit uses to help us understand the God who desires to speak to us in moments like this. You start to wonder where all these traditions start. The reality that we live in a culture that reflects a world culture that for a long time has made this time of the year all about love. Think about it for a minute when you consider just this one thing, Christmas carols. It doesn't matter if you're talking about centuries of Christian Christmas carols and songs, or whether you're talking about some of the most popular and newest of all the Christmas songs that are out there. It's a rare thing for a seasonal song focused on Christmas to not have the concept of love in it somewhere, and giving, and how the loving and the giving changes our world, at least for a moment, so that we at least sooner or later will have the thought, I wish every day could be Christmas. Where did that all get started in the first place? Did it not get started with the giving of our God of his good and perfect gifts? Did it not actually get started with God's ultimate gift of his Son who fixes everything, every last thing about us and about our reality? With not just the promise and the hope, but the fulfillment of a life after the life we experience here that is full and fulfilling and complete, joyful, at peace, with a full knowledge of God and understanding of our own purpose in that existence. Everything you could ever possibly want, everything that your heart longs for, your life aches for, all of it possible in the gift of his one and only Son. So when you measure your gifts this year, be compassionate, be generous. Maybe you didn't get everything you wanted. Maybe the hints that you dropped just flat out dropped, never to be picked up by anybody that really understood what you really were intending. But compare any of that and all of that. Everything about what we make this season about, compare it all to what John speaks of here and focuses us on here, and see if you don't agree just how amazing it is. Just how powerful and complete and eternity-changing it is that our God, our Creator God, gives us the gift, the very best, most important gift of his one and only Son, sent to be the Savior of the world. My Savior, your Savior, the reason that we celebrate, the best reason, in essence, the only reason, because we know there's never going to be a better gift than that. Amen.